And I was fine this morning, and then I was down here getting my Bible and tripped on the steps coming up here. So I promise this evening I will not do any Mel Brooks jokes. Apparently no one knows who Mel Brooks is or doesn't like him. I don't know which it is. I am happy to be back tonight. Is Kirk here? Oh, well, he missed it. I just want you to know that the story he told this morning is true, except for the part about leaving me in the vehicle. Gary Garner actually took me to the hospital, and then he left me. It was so funny because they just felt terrible, you know, for what had happened. And I will never forget, you know, I was in the hospital for 5 days, and I'll never forget that that night after they got me in the room, the boys wanted to come up and see me, and man, they had some of the saddest faces you've ever seen. I think they thought I was going to be mad at them, but it wasn't their fault. It was my fault for trusting them. Numbers chapter 13 is where we'll be starting this evening, Numbers chapter 13. I found some interesting things on the web. I thought this was kind of cool. This morning, a couple of people asked me if I was Charlotte's older brother, and I said, no, I'm younger than Charlotte. Of course, when you say that I'm the baby of the family and you're 67 years old, it kind of loses its impact. But I found these, and I thought these were very interesting. Mir Keet from South Africa bungee jumped 706 feet a few years ago. He was 96 years old at the time. At the age of 77, Minoru Saito circumnavigated the world in a sailboat. Gladys Burrell completed a marathon in Hawaii in 9 hours, 53 minutes, and 16 seconds. And that sounds like a long time until you realize she's 92 years old, but she completed it. William Ivy Baldwin walked a tightrope across a canyon in Colorado at the age of 82. At the age of 73, Tomei Watanabe became the oldest woman to climb Mount Everest. Countryman Yoichiro Miura became the oldest man when he climbed the mountain at age 80, and that was his third climb. George Burns once said this, you can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. And isn't that true? I've found those are very wise words as I've gotten older. And why have I given these examples? Well, tonight I wanted to tell the story, or let you hear about the story of an old man who conquered a mountain. And you can find it in Numbers and Joshua. It is Caleb. Caleb is an interesting Bible character. The story of Caleb is found in Numbers and Deuteronomy and in Joshua. The name Caleb in Hebrew means dog, but not in a bad sense. It means faithful as a dog. And there is a sense of loyalty there with the name Caleb. And that is the legacy of Caleb, faithfulness to God. The first time he is mentioned is in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 6. Moses has chosen 12 men to go out and look and scout out the land of Canaan. Caleb was chosen from the tribe of Judah. He was the son of a man named Jephunneh, referred to as a Kenizzite in Joshua 14. And of course, we all know the story of how these spies went out into the land, and they were given the command to go look and see what this land of Canaan looked like. They had no specific instructions from God other than to check out the land. We all know this story. There's, by the way, a side note to this is very interesting. We all call them spies. We've always heard that, you know, in all our years growing up. But according to the different translations, it can have a different meaning. In the King James Version, it says not to spy the land, but to search out the land. In the New International Version, it says to explore the land. It's the New King James Version that says spy out the land. The word is tur, which means, I just wanted to let you know I can speak Hebrew. It's a roll of the tongue. Okay. Tur, it means all these things, but it does depend on the viewpoint of the person who's using the word itself. Now, these are Moses' specific instructions, and we're in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went out and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. Now, these men went out and did what they were supposed to do, and it took them 40 days to do all of it. And when they came back, they gave some very glowing comments. And we'll find these beginning in verses 26 and 27. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit." And you can imagine what it must have been like. This land is flowing with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit that you've got there. And you can hear all the people going, "Yes, this is going to be great." And then they went on in the 28th and 29th verses. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Can you imagine the oohs and the ahs from the people when they heard that news? But then Caleb, the man from the tribe of Joshua, had this response to them in verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we will be well able to overcome it.'" There was no doubt in Caleb's mind. There was no hesitation on Caleb's part that if we go up there, we can do this because God is on our side. Now, when I told you before that word that we're looking at, spying, there are different ways to look at it. Caleb was looking at it from the standpoint of, I was exploring this land of Canaan. I was exploring the land to see what kind of potential home this was going to be for our people. Later on in Deuteronomy, God himself praises Caleb as a man who followed him wholeheartedly. And that's because he kept a positive and he knew who was on his side and he knew that these people could take this land. But Israel would not listen to Caleb, but they wouldn't listen to Joshua either. The other 10 spies said that the people were like giants, that Israel would be like grasshoppers in their view. Those men were spying on the land. They were trying to find out if they could do this and strategically decided that they would not be able to conquer this land because of what was there. Of course, they never could themselves. The next chapter tells us that the people wept all night. They cried all night because of this report, and then they began to grumble against Moses. They wanted to replace him with a new leader. And Joshua and Caleb were so upset that they tore their clothing, and they tried to convince the nation that they could take Canaan if they would only do it. "Don't be afraid of them," they said. And then it tells us that the whole assembly of the people talked about stoning Caleb and Joshua. Now, God was going to destroy these people for the attitude that they had, but he relented when Moses pled his case before God. But now they were condemned to wander in the desert for 40 years, 1 year for each day the spies had been in Canaan. And everyone who was an Israelite above the age of 20 would die in the wilderness. That was their sentence. "Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." And so it happened. They wandered in that desert for 40 years. And we're going to fast forward 40 years. And then 5 years more because there was a battle after they made it there. The battle to secure the land. The tribes are being given territory. And when it comes time for the tribe of Judah, Caleb says this to Joshua. And you can find it in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. You know, I can't help but think back to Lot and Abraham when they divided that land there. And you looked out at Abraham, or Lot looked out, and he saw that fertile land out there, and he saw the flat lands, and he decided that's what he wanted. And so he took that. But Caleb chose the hill country. That's what this country was that he was going to be getting. He chose to fight literally an uphill battle to get his inheritance. Joshua 15 says this, from Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmal, the sons of Anak. From there he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. That's Joshua 15. And I just want to stop for a second and say, I think it's impressive that I can pronounce all these names, but here was this 85-year-old man who was ready for battle. He was not willing to quit. He was willing to trust God. He was willing to go out and fight for this country that God had promised him. Now, with all Bible characters, we have to ask the question, what can we learn from Caleb? What can we learn other than the fact that he was a healthy guy at 85 years old and he went out and conquered this land? Well, first of all, we need to understand and remember the need to continue to serve God. Now, there are a lot of people in this audience who are retired from their everyday job, but I want to ask you the question, are you really retired? You know, my father-in-law retired, and then he worked more after he was retired than he did before he retired. He worked harder sometimes, maybe a little bit harder. He always kept going. My mom retired, and then she did all kind of stuff after she retired. She actually took a trip all the way out to El Paso all by herself. Driving all by herself. Got a speeding ticket, by the way. She's not here, so I can say that. But my mom did those things after she retired. She was keeping her mind and her body sharp. She was doing the things that she'd wanted to do. Contrast that with some retirees that you may know who don't really retire, but actually retreat from life. They quit doing, and they quit trying. General Douglas MacArthur once said this, age wrinkles the body, quitting wrinkles the soul. And how true that is. Age wrinkles the body, but quitting wrinkles the soul. I told you this morning, or they mentioned this morning, that I have done some work in Haiti over the past 20 years or so. And there's a gentleman who got involved in the work several years ago. His name's Bob Patterson. He's in Seattle, Washington. And Bob oversees a Bible program where they buy Bibles for the group, but he also travels to Haiti. He does it in the summer months or the winter months, and the reason he does that is because he's 85 years old, but he still travels from Seattle all the way down to Haiti so that it can be a part of this work. He is a driving force behind this work. He does all he can while he can. When he retired, he found another mountain that he could climb, another mountain that he could win, just as Caleb did. You know, we like to sing that song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes," but it's not always easy to follow the spirit of those words, is it? We will work until Jesus comes. It's not always easy to do that. I don't know what Caleb did for those 40 years while they were wandering in the desert, but I can imagine that Caleb was probably one of the ones who stood on the periphery and watched over these people. Though they wanted to stone him at one point, he was willing to abide with those people. He was willing to follow God. He was willing to obey God. And when the time came for his inheritance, he did not take the easy way out. He said, "You promised me this mountain, give me this mountain. I don't care if I'm 85 years old. I don't care if it seems like I won't be able to fight this battle. I can fight this battle. I'm as strong as I ever was. Give me that mountain." He continued to use his talents and his strength that God gave him. He was committed wholeheartedly. He never stopped serving. And that's a great lesson to learn from Caleb. Never stop serving. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. You know, when you're young, you get tired too, don't you? When you're middle-aged, you get tired. And when you're old, you get tired. Sometimes it's good to rest, but never stop serving the Lord. Always ask the question, what mountain can I conquer for the Lord? Well, hand in hand with that is another lesson that we can learn from Caleb, and that is never retreat from the enemy. Never retreat from the enemy. 45 years before Caleb asked for the mountain, he had witnessed retreat with the children of Israel. The other 10 spies retreated from the enemy because they thought that they were going to be beaten by that enemy. They were going to be grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb and Joshua tried to convince them that this was not going to be the case, that God was on their side, but they did not have the faith and they did not have the courage. It takes effort to stand firm. It takes effort to stand firm and advance toward the enemy. Retreating is safe. Retreating is easy. But unless it's a strategic retreat, it ends up being disastrous because you are retreating. When we face our giants, when we face our mountains, they may seem insurmountable, but they can be conquered if we have the proper focus. You know, Jesus told us that what we could do is if we told, say, that this mountain be moved, it will be moved. He didn't say we're going to be able to move it all at once. The key is it takes time sometimes to move that mountain. You know, an ant moves a mountain one grain of sand at a time. That's a whole lot bigger than him, but he moves that mountain. Those Japanese men and women that I mentioned at the first of the lesson who climbed Mount Everest did not just go up to the mountain and start walking up the mountain. When I was a kid, I used to think that, you know, people talking about climbing Mount Everest, I just thought, okay, well, they're climbing up Mount Everest. It takes time to do that. Not only does it take time, it takes lots of planning. It takes the proper equipment. It takes the proper guidance. And they depended on that guidance. They climbed a little bit each day. They rested. They kept climbing until they reached the summit, because they were focused on a goal. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to focus on the goal of serving him, of serving others, of loving him, of loving others. Jesus said this, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." And that's what I was just talking about. Be removed and cast into that ocean. That's a great promise from the Lord, but it doesn't mean that it will be given to us on a silver platter. There is some effort involved in our part. The first effort is to ask. You ever thought about that? If you want to conquer a mountain, the first question you want to ask God is, give me a mountain. Give me something to conquer. Give me an opportunity to do that. You know, I'm going to guarantee you something. If you tonight will go home and start praying for an opportunity to serve the Lord in some way, he's going to give you that opportunity if you really mean it and if you really want to do that. So the first thing is to ask. The second is to have faith. The third thing is to act on that faith, to move to conquer the mountain. What is your mountain? If you haven't moved to conquer it, why have you not moved to conquer it? Some people will say, well, that's just the way I am. I just can't do that. Is that a reason or is that an excuse? You're the only one that can answer that question. Caleb had plenty of excuses for not conquering that mountain. He's 85 years old. He'd served the Lord for 45 years and who knows how long before that. He had every opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, just give me some of that flat land. I'll be okay with that. That'll be fine with my people. But he chose to take the hard way. The third lesson, the last lesson from Caleb that I have here, there are plenty more, but I only have 3 points tonight. So that third lesson from Caleb is to never give up on God's promises. Remember what Caleb said when asking for Hebron? Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. Can you imagine Caleb holding that promise in his heart for 40 years and never giving up? Now, he knew that they were going to have to wander for that time, but he still had to live for 40 years. What's that, 12,000, 13,000 days? That's a long time, isn't it? 40 years. And then he had a 5-year battle after that that he had to fight through. I can imagine that during that 5-year battle, he was probably more courageous and bolder than he had been earlier because of God's promise. So what promises has God given us? God has promised that he will listen when we call on him. Deuteronomy 4:7, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? I like to think that God is just standing right beside me, and when I call on him, he says, okay, I'm listening. That's the way to think about it. That's the way to put that in, I guess, in a personal way if you want to. But God is there and he's listening to you. He is listening to you. There are, 7-8 billion people on the earth now, but he still has time to listen to your prayer. He still has time, and he will listen when you call on him. Number two, he'll love you forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That is 1 Chronicles 16:34. God's love will be there. Even when we kind of abandon him a little bit, he still loves us. He still, like I talked about this morning, he still wants us to come back. He wants us to renew our faith in him and our attitude and our love for him. Number three, he'll give us what we need. Now, I want you to listen to what I said. He'll give us what we need. Sometimes it's not what we want, but he'll give us what we need. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4:19. There's a big difference between what I want and what I need. There are a lot of things I want in my life, but I know that God gives me what I need. And God will always do that. He'll make sure that all things work for good. That doesn't mean everything's going to be good. It just means all things will work for good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The bad things sometimes work to our good. There have been times when I've lost a job here or there, and it turned out I got something better later on down the way. My wife lost a job one time, and it just so happened, I don't know how this happened, I guess it must have been providence. Amazing, isn't it? That her mom and dad were going to go on a trip, and she got, I think, like 6 months severance pay, and she was able to go with them on a trip that they had always wanted to go on with their child and their grandchild. It was a wonderful thing. It was bad that she lost her job, but those things work out for us sometimes. God will always be there. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is one, the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, and he will not forsake you. Through the wilderness, through the grumblings of his brothers and sisters, through the battles, Caleb believed that promise that God made him, and that is that I will always be with you, and I will be with you whatever you do. Do you believe those promises? Do you believe that God will always be there for you? Now, that is a question we all need to ask ourselves. We say this, and you know, academically you can say these things, but you really need to get down sometimes in your soul, and you need to ask yourself these questions. Do I really believe that God will always be there? Do I believe that he will give me what I need? Do I believe that he will make sure that all things work for good? That's a question we need to ask, those questions we need to ask ourselves. Sophia Loren, great philosopher, once said this: there is a fountain of youth. It is your mind, your talents, the creativity you bring to your life and the lives of people you love. When you learn to tap this source, you will truly have defeated age. Caleb was an old man, but he asked for a mountain that he could conquer, a physical mountain that he could conquer. He kept serving. He never retreated. He never gave up on God's promises. When you think of Caleb, I can think of another promise that God made through Paul in Philippians 1. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is not a God of halfway. God just does not do things halfway. He started a work in me, and He started a work in you. And He will complete it if we will allow Him to complete it through us. He has given us talents. He has given us creativity. He has given us all the gifts that we have. And everybody in this audience tonight has some kind of gift that God has given them. It may be one, it may be two, it may be 10. I don't know what gifts you have, but God has given you the gifts to work with. And you need to use those gifts for the Lord. You need to trust His promises for you. You need to believe that those opportunities are there, and you need to look for them to find the mountains that you can conquer. So what mountain will you ask God to help you conquer? This morning I talked about the fact that, you know, find one person that you can talk with this year about Jesus. Just one person. That's a minuscule type of request that I can make to anybody. But find one person. Identify someone that you can talk to. This may be your mountain. This may be the opportunity for you to reach out to someone, to get outside of you, I hate to use this phrase, but get outside of your comfort zone, to get outside of yourself, to say, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to conquer this mountain. Now, you know what? The mountain may be your fear of talking to somebody about God, of talking to somebody about Jesus. Your mountain might be the fear of being laughed at. Your mountain might be any number of things. Let God help you conquer that mountain, because if you ask Him, He will listen to you. If you ask Him, He will guide you. If you ask Him, He will help you conquer these mountains. So what mountain will you ask God to help you conquer in the coming year? This evening, if you have a need to answer an invitation for the Lord, if you have not put on the Lord in baptism, that's a mountain you may need to conquer tonight. And if you have not done that, then we offer you that opportunity. If you need the prayers of this congregation for any reason, we would offer those for you as well tonight while we stand and sing.